you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I'll refer to all the texts in our reading today, but especially now in your ears, these words of Jesus from John's Gospel. Jesus said, "When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will declare to you the things that are to come." This is our time. As we celebrate the Feast of Pentecost again today, we also gather for the confirmation of our sixth youth, Louis, Matthew, Laura, Mary, Sally, and Landon. What is confirmation? Why does it matter? One pastor described the importance of confirmation instruction like this, the teaching of confirmation. He said, "It should make the young people spiritually independent, so that they would stand on the foundation that remains immovable when the earth and heavens shake. It should make the young people spiritually independent, so that they stand on the foundation that remains immovable when the earth and heavens shake." He believed that religious instruction made the difference between children who consciously express their Christian faith and those who have only a cultural attachment to it. I would say that we share that same aim, for the six of you to be spiritually independent. That means having a Christian faith that belongs to you and is yours for the rest of your life. It's not enough that your parents and grandparents believe, though I'm glad that they do. It's not enough that you believed once when you were a child, or when you were 14 or 15 or 16. We want each of you to believe for yourself from now until the day you die, to own the Christian faith as yours, and for your whole life to be shaped by it. So hold and keep this Christian faith, the faith that's been given to you from the Holy Scriptures and taught to you through the small catechism. Stand on the immovable rock, the foundation that is Jesus Christ, your Lord. He can never be shaken. Though the world changes, and I can promise you, for each of you, that your world will change too, he remains the same. Yesterday, today, and forever. What you have in your Lord Jesus Christ is solid and certain. It's trustworthy. It's true. Even when the earth and heavens shake, and they will, your God and his word remain unshaken. But back to that statement about confirmation instruction, that it should make the young people spiritually independent, so that they would stand on the foundation that remains immovable when the earth and heaven shake. I think it's helpful to know who said those words. They come from a pastor you've never heard of by the name of Johann Wolff. Pastor Wolff served as a Lutheran pastor in Ukraine in the 1920s. If you know anything about the 1920s, you might remember that this was during the early Soviet Union. And the Soviet government had made a law forbidding religious instruction for groups of children under the age of 18. Over 18 is fine, individually is okay, but groups of children under the age of 18, no good. One year, 2 days before Pastor Bull was to confirm a new group of students, he was called into the Communist Party headquarters for a 5-hour cross-examination. They informed him that he was only allowed to teach younger children and no more than 3 at a time. That was a challenge for a pastor who usually confirmed 200 youth each year. The communist government knew the truth. teaching the Christian faith makes Christians. And by forbidding the teaching of the Christian faith, or making it really, really difficult, their hope was to raise a generation of atheists. The stakes were high. The stakes are still high. When the earth and heavens shake, Pastor Bull himself ended up either exiled or in a gulag for his Christian faith. You'll be asked today, do you intend to continue steadfast in this confession and church and to suffer all, even death, rather than fall away from it? By the grace of God. Yes, by the grace of God. So confirmation isn't only a religious ceremony or a rite of passage. It's far more. It's the inculcation of the Christian faith. For you six, it's the culmination of a year dedicated to the study of God's Word and the teachings of the Christian faith. Why do we do this? Before ascending into heaven, Jesus commissioned the church to do the work of making disciples of all nations. And he told the church how to do this. By baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and by teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. The point of confirmation is the teaching. It's one way that the church hands on the faith from generation to generation. But don't misunderstand. Confirmation is not graduation. You're not done. I said it already to you this morning, I'll say it again. This isn't like some other classes where you study the book, you take the test, you put the book away, and you never think about it again. This is life. Always keep learning and studying the faith. And let me give you a couple of hints. First one is, turn off the TV. Just turn it off. Or better yet, take it out to the town dump and leave it there. Smash it. Second piece of advice, stop scrolling your phone. And if you don't have a phone yet, don't worry, the time will come and you will be tempted just to scroll and scroll and scroll. Or just get a dumb phone. Third, wear out your Bible and your small tablet. I mean, wear them out. Let those bindings break. Let the pages be creased. If they fall apart, I promise you I will buy you another. And another after that. Take it with you. I remember a story about, I believe this was about an older member of the congregation. You can correct me if I'm wrong. But my recollection is that you told me that your father would have a copy of the Small Catechism that you would keep with him. He'd have one in his pocket, although I'm sure it wore out many times. And he'd pull it out and he'd look at it. He'd study it. He'd read it. He'd pray it during the day. Every day, die to sin and rise to walk in newness of life through Jesus by your baptism. Come, confessing your sin, and hear that sweet, sweet absolution. All forgiven for Jesus' sake. Keep meeting together at the divine service and receive the body and blood of your Lord Jesus Christ, not once a year, not twice a year, but week after week after week. Because God knows you need it. This is where the breath of the Spirit blows. This is how the Comforter, the Spirit of Truth, the Helper sent by Jesus from the Father, breathes life and strength and hope into dry and dusty bones. The Spirit sent the prophet Ezekiel in the middle of a valley filled with dry bones and asked him, can these bones live? What kind of question is that? Really? Can dry bones live? Can they love? Can they trust? Can they hope? Can they bear joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control? Dry bones? Oh Lord God, you know. And that's right. He does know. true that dry bones by themselves can't do jack squat. And some of you sitting here today may feel like a pile of dead bones. You may see death close at hand. Your hope may be gone. But the question isn't how hopeless you are, or how sick you are, or how dead you are. The real question is, can the dead be raised? Can they stand on their feet today, tomorrow, on the last day? Can those who died of dementia or perished in prison camps live? Because if the answer to any of those questions is yes, and it doesn't matter how dry the bones are, it doesn't matter how long they've been like that, it doesn't matter if sickness plagues us, or if the world mocks us, or if we suffer persecution. I'm not saying it's easy. I'm saying that those things aren't forever. But this is. Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain that they may live. So Ezekiel prophesied. The breath came like a mighty rushing wind. They lived. They stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army. Behold, a host, dead, but made alive by the Spirit. Thus says the Lord God. You shall know that I am the Lord. You shall know it when I open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people. And I will put my Spirit within you, and you shall live. And I will place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. I have spoken, and I will do it, declares the Lord. You can count on that promise. You can live and die with that promise. I will put my Spirit within you. His breath will enter us. It came like a mighty rushing wind on the day of Pentecost. The disciples were all together in one place, like we are this morning. And that's when the promise of the Father came. Divided tongues of fire, as a fire, appeared to them and rested on each one of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And what happened then? Then they opened their mouths. They told about the mighty works of God in languages that people could understand. They spoke about Jesus. They declared his suffering, death, resurrection, and ascension. They made known the shedding of his blood on the cross as atonement, covering for all sin. This is what the prophet Joel had promised. The Spirit would be poured out, and it would come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Confirmands, you've been taught to call upon the name of the Lord. So don't ever be afraid to call upon him. Don't be afraid to ask him for help and guidance. Don't be afraid to pray for his name to be kept holy, his kingdom to come, and his will to be done in your life. Don't be afraid to ask for your daily bread, for forgiveness of your sins, for help in forgiving others, for aid in temptation, and for deliverance from evil. You've been taught to confess Jesus as Savior. And in a few minutes, we'll make that confession again before God and before this congregation. And you'll make that confession knowing that Jesus has promised to confess you before his Father who is in heaven. The Holy Spirit comes. He breathes on you through God's Word. It may not be as dramatic as a tongue of fire or a mighty rushing wind, but he does it. He descends on you through holy baptism. He enters you through holy communion. He is poured out on you again and again and again. May he fill our bodies, making them his temple. May he take over our tongues, not that we would speak in other languages, but rather that our words would be holy, building others up so that the name of Jesus would be on our lips. In our own language. May he inspire our minds, that we would think only what is good, true, and beautiful. Jesus said, when the Spirit of truth comes, he comes to you. He will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. Today we pray that Jesus would do, continue to do as he has promised. That he would send the Spirit from his Father, the Spirit to convict us of sin, to bestow his righteousness on us through faith, and to judge the rulers of this world. We don't know what tomorrow will bring, but who knows? The Spirit, through Holy Scripture, will be your guide. He will teach you what is true. He will comfort you. He will help you. He will advocate for you as you go through life. When the earth and heavens shake, he will help you stand firm, for his word will not pass away. You can count on this. This is the rock on which you can stand, that Jesus died, Jesus is risen, Jesus ascended on high, and Jesus will come again. The Spirit testifies to us of these things. And so you have received, and you receive again today, a kingdom that cannot be shaken. So let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe. For our God is a consuming fire. Our God, a holy, purifying fire. A fire of love and of life, unshakable and unshaken. The God who wars and who protects. The Father, Son, and the blessed Holy Spirit.